You now turn with me in the Word of God to the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 44. It's a longer chapter, but we will read the whole of it because you can't really break off through it. So Jeremiah chapter 44, I'm reading from verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and Tarbenhez and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, O do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to bear no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate, as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls? To cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah, that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed, and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest, by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Then all the men, which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her, without our men? Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear, because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed? Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day. Because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil is happened unto you, as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may surely know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. Oh, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. We're looking each week at the innumerable ways in which these hearts of ours are often deceived by various delusions. And we've already seen several ways in which we've been deluded, or in which people have been deluded. This morning we see the Jews in Egypt, and they receive a message from God through his prophet Jeremiah. And these Jews are deluded really in two ways. First of all, they're deluded into believing you can willfully sin against God and get away with it. They say in verse 16, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. They were deluded. They thought we can take no notice of what God says, and we can simply do what we want, and we can actually get away with it. That'll be the end of the matter. And also we see in verses 17, really 18 and 19, they were deluded into believing it was vain to serve God. It was a waste of time following God and doing what God says. They said in the end of verse 17, we had plenty of victuals, were well, and saw no evil when we were committing idolatry. But when we weren't, we've been consumed by the sword and by the famine. It's a waste of time doing what God says. It's a waste of time following God. We'd be better off doing the opposite. Now God, through Jeremiah, comes to these Jews who had gathered there in Egypt. And first of all, at the beginning of the chapter, God reminds them of what has happened to Judah and to Jerusalem because of their sin, because of their idolatry, because they'd worshipped gods of their own making rather than the one true living God. He says in verse 2, I have brought evil upon them. They are a desolation. No man dwells there because of their wickedness, because of their sin, because they served gods who were no gods. And God says, I warned the people of Judah and Jerusalem about this. He says, I sent my prophets in verse 14 and told them not to do this abominable thing that I hate. Don't do this. Don't sin in this way, God said to them. But he says in verse 5, they didn't listen. They wouldn't take any notice of my word. They wouldn't turn away from their sinful ways. So he says in verse 6, my fury and my anger was poured forth. They were sinning against me. I warned them about it. They wouldn't listen. My judgment fell upon them as a result. Do we really see something of the awfulness and the seriousness of sin, of disobeying God? God says, do not this abominable thing that I hate. God, who is holy, hates sin. What do you hate? God hates sin. It's an abominable thing that he hates. Why does God hate sin? Because it's contrary to everything he is. He is holy. He is pure. And sin is the complete opposite. That's why God hates it. Why does God hate sin? Because sin is disobeying God's good laws, God's good commandments. The commandments of God are good. They're for our well-being, for man's well-being. And God therefore hates sin when people disobey those good commandments. God hates sin because it's rebellion against his authority over us. It's saying to the God who is our maker and creator, you're going to have no place in my life. I am going to rule my life and not you, the God who has made me. And indeed, God hates sin because of the damage it actually does to human beings. It defiles human beings that he has created. And because of his love for human beings, he hates sin. Little wonder then God hates sin. It's contrary to the wishes of God and to the desires of God. No wonder therefore God says, do it not. Don't do it. I hate it. And you don't have to go to the beginning of the Bible to see that. When sin is first committed by Adam and Eve, they're cast out of Eden and suffering and death enter into this world. You only have to go on a little bit later. And when God looks down upon the earth and he says the wickedness, the sinfulness of man is great upon the face of the earth, he sends a flood and destroys all, bar for a small group, who he saves in his grace. And here, in Judah and Jerusalem. You can see how serious a thing sin is. God says, my fury and my anger was poured forth and kindled. They are wasted and desolate as a result. You see, when we sin, we harm our own souls. God says that in verse 7. Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls? That's why God also hates sin. The enormous damage we're doing to ourselves by our sin. So God, through Jeremiah, comes to these Jews now living in Egypt and says, remember what has already happened. He says, I hate sin. My righteous anger is poured forth against sin. The people in Judah and Jerusalem continued in their sin and they wouldn't listen to me. And my judgment fell upon them. And as a result, they are desolate. So he reminds this group of people of what has just happened. And then he goes on to say to them in verses 8 to 14, really, therefore, be warned. You've seen what I think of sin. You have seen what happened to Judah and Jerusalem because they continued in their sin. Don't make the same mistake, he's saying to them in verses 8 to 14. If you continue in your sinful ways, if you do what you want rather than what I say, I will have to righteously punish you just as I have punished Judah and Jerusalem. He says in verse 13, I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. So God is saying to these Jews, wake up. You've seen what has happened. You've seen how much I hate sin. You've seen how I warned the people to turn from it. You've seen that they wouldn't take any notice. You've seen my judgment fall upon Judah and Jerusalem. You've seen the desolation as a result. Here you are in Egypt, and you're going in a sinful way. And if you carry on in this way, the same thing will happen to you as happened to Jerusalem. That's God's word then, given through God's servant Jeremiah. And then in verses 15 to 19, we have the response of the Jews who were living in Egypt to the word of God through Jeremiah. It's a very sad response. The men and the women together absolutely refuse to listen to or to take any notice of what God has said to them about turning from their sin that he hates. As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not, they say, hearken unto you. We're going to continue, they say in verse 17, doing what we want. We will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. We're going to go on in our sinful way committing idolatry. We're going to worship the Queen of Heaven, the moon goddess they were worshipping. We're determined, they say, to do what we want, not what God says to us. And then they say, everything was going well when we were sinning. At the end of verse 17, we were prosperous. And when we stopped sinning, things have gone wrong. So it's pointless doing what God says. It's vain to do what God says. It's no advantage doing what God says. Now, of course, they were totally mistaken. They were saying everything that happened to Judah and Jerusalem was because they stopped committing idolatry and they were following God. But the very opposite was the case. God has just told them all that happened because they stopped following me and they were committing idolatry. And this group of people there in Egypt, these Jews, are totally deluded then in two ways. First of all, they imagine they could ignore the word of God to them and do whatever they wanted, as if that was the end of the matter. As if God wouldn't deal with them for rejecting his word and for sinning against him. You see, they don't even say, Jeremiah, what you're telling us is just your point of view. They're bold enough to acknowledge what Jeremiah is actually saying is the word of God. As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord. What God has said through you, Jeremiah, to us, we're not going to hearken to. We're not going to listen to. We're not going to take any notice of. But we're going to do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our mouth. We're going to do whatever we want. What a thing. Here in reality, what is going on in these Jews is what goes on in a rebellious, sinful heart. They don't deny what they're hearing is the word of God. But they say, we're not going to take any notice. Many a person, you may be one of them, you wouldn't deny very often what you hear is the word of God. You know you couldn't prove that it wasn't the word of God. You know as you turn to the scriptures, yes, that's what God says. But nevertheless, I'm not going to take any notice. I'm going to do whatever I want, not what God says. You see, self, not God, rules on the throne of the heart. I'm going to do things my way, not your way, God. They're saying here. It doesn't matter, we may say, what God says to me about the way I speak, the way I live, the way I act. It doesn't matter what he says to me about the way of salvation. It doesn't matter what he says to me about his day. It doesn't matter what he says to me about material things and worldly pleasures. It doesn't matter what you say, God, I'm not going to take any notice. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do what I want. Now that's all well and good. But you're deluded if you think or imagine you can do that, and that is the end of the matter. The wages of sin is death, says God. The soul that sinneth shall die. And God says to these Jews that respond in this way, in verses 25 and 26, I must therefore righteously punish you for your sin. And he goes on to say to them that you're in no doubt that this is going to happen to you. The present king of Egypt, who you're trusting in for protection, though it seems totally improbable, and it was from a history point of view, improbable, he is actually going to be defeated and be delivered into the hands of his enemies. And his defeat will be a sign to you, he says to these Jews, that my judgment is going to fall upon you because you wouldn't listen to my word, because you continued doing what you wanted, sinning against me. Now we can be just like them. You can be just like them. A person can be very bold, you know, in their rejection of God and his word. A person can be very bold in their determination to do what they want. But you're deluded if you imagine that's the end of the matter. Because if you say to God, in effect, God, I'm not going to do what you say, I'm going to do what I want, I've got to tell you, that isn't the last word on the matter. Do you know what we're like sometimes when we're arguing or disagreeing with people? We always want to have the last word sometimes. Well, if it's you and God that is having the disagreement, I've got to tell you, God always has the last word. He has the last word. And he says to them at the end of verse 28, this punishment is going to come upon you, and then shall you know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. God says, I speak to you. You say, I'm not going to take any notice. I'm going to do what I want. And God says to them, the last word then on the matter will be, I have to punish you for your sin, for your rejection of me and my word. And that's what happened. The fact that they went on for a while there in Egypt and nothing happened to them didn't mean that sin was going to be unpunished. God's judgment fell upon them just as God said it would. And you know, it doesn't matter how boldly you say to God, I'm not going to listen to you, God. And how boldly you say to God, I'm going to do whatever I want. You're deluded if you think then that is the end of the matter. That's what these Jews thought. And God took them up on what they said. And God's wrath fell upon them. You can't reject the word of God. You can't say, I'm going to do what I want, not what God says, and then not have consequences for you. And that's true if you're a non-Christian or a Christian. True on both counts. We can't defy God and get away with it. God is not mocked. What we sow, we ultimately reap. This is what they sowed. We're not going to listen. We're going to do whatever comes forth out of our mouth, whatever we want. And what they reaped was that God's wrath fell upon them, so that they would know that it was his word that ultimately stood and not theirs. But not only were they deluded in thinking you can reject the word of God and do whatever you want and get away with it, they were deluded into thinking it was a waste of time doing what God says. It's vain to serve God, to do what God wants. They say we're better off worshipping the Queen of Heaven, this moon goddess they worshipped. Things were better off then. In other words, they say to God, we were better off not doing what you said than we are doing what you said. How deluded they were. Many people are like this. Perhaps you are. You really imagine you're better off not doing what God says and doing simply what you want. Now, it is true in a worldly, material sense, sometimes somebody can be better off than they would be if they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians, as a result of their faith in Christ, have been thrown into prison. They have lost their jobs. They haven't been able to advance in their jobs if they've been faithful to God's word, or they've been persecuted. So from a material point of view, many of God's children, when they became Christians, were far worse off than they were materially beforehand. But to argue from that, well, therefore, it's better to take no notice of God. It's better not to trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ is a total delusion. Jesus on one occasion is speaking and he says, if you imagine that ultimately you're going to be worse off through following me, you're totally mistaken. More is gained by trusting and following the Lord Jesus Christ than is ever lost. He says this, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. And he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. In other words, really, it is at the end of the day, ultimately, impossible, totally impossible, to be worse off trusting in and following the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be better off by not doing. Those who know God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will serve him even if they have nothing of this world, because they know that they won't lose out in the end. They never, ever do. The ungodly, the unbeliever, can prosper in this world and be very rich and successful. But that's no encouragement to be ungodly and unbelieving. No reason to envy them at all. During a life of sin, a person can have no lack of all the things of this world. But such a life isn't profitable to be desired. Why? Because at the end of the day, there is always something missing. And at the total end of the day, when we die, there is a judgment to face. And after death, God's judgment. And God's judgment came upon these Jews in Egypt, and they found out they weren't better off worshipping this Queen of Heaven. And they would have been better off doing what God had said. It doesn't matter what you lose of this world's pleasures and this world's things through trusting in Christ, more is gained than is ever lost. There's just no comparison. You see, on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do lose the pleasures of sin. But you gain the joys of God's salvation. It's not that you give up a whole host of things and you gain nothing. You gain that which is good and pure and beneficial, and you lose that which is damaging and harmful. On faith in Christ, as I've said, some believers lose out materially because of persecution and all sorts of things like that. But they gain treasures in heaven. And the difference between heavenly treasures and earthly is this: no one can steal heavenly treasures, and they don't corrupt, they don't rust, and you don't have to give them up when you die. They're treasures worth having. On faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you can find you lose the favour of people. People can turn against you. Family and friends, they can turn against you. People can persecute you. They can laugh and mock and scorn. You lose the favour of people sometimes, but you gain the favour of God. And when God's judgment fell upon these Jews, they just began to see how deluded they'd been. They thought, we can refuse to listen to what God says, we can do what we want without any consequence. And they found they couldn't. They said, we're better off doing what we want rather than what God says. And they found that they weren't. They said, we're going to continue in our sinful ways. We're going to continue doing what we want. And God's judgment fell upon them. And God's judgment really punished them in a terrible way, just as he punished Judah and Jerusalem previously. Now, perhaps these Jews have got a lot in common with you. Perhaps in many ways you're like them. Though they were living on the earth many years ago, though they were living in a different country to you, you're very like them. In your heart, you're rejecting God's word. You're saying to God, we will not hearken unto you. And you're saying to God, and we'll do whatsoever we want. God, I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what I want. Now, that's all well and good. But don't be deluded into thinking that that is the end of the matter, because it isn't. Because God will have the last word. No human being can say to God, I'm not going to do what you say, and I'm going to do what I want. And imagine they can get away with that. They can't. They never have done. These Jews didn't. Nobody ever has. And don't be deluded into imagining, well, if I don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I don't follow him, if I don't do what God says, I'll be better off. That's what these Jews thought. And they weren't. Far, far from it. Their time, the rest of their time in Egypt didn't go that well. So they weren't even better off in this world. And then when God's judgment fell, they were even more worse off. They were deluded. And perhaps you are. You really imagine that you'll be better off doing what you want rather than what God says. Better off continuing in sin rather than trusting in and following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when God's judgment fell, they found they weren't. When the king of Egypt was delivered into the hand of his enemies, at that moment they began to see what God had said was going to come to pass. And they were going to be punished, and they weren't better off doing what they wanted rather than what God says. And the same will happen with you. Let's paint the scenario. You live your life this way. You say to God, I'm not going to take any notice, God, of what you say to me. I am not going to trust in and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do simply whatever I want. I'm better off doing what I want rather than what you say. And then there'll come a time, maybe with warning or without warning, when you'll depart from this world. And you die, and after death, God's judgment. And you know, when anybody dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment, they would have given up every single thing they ever had in this world in exchange to having Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They would. All the things they prized, all the things they enjoyed, all the things they treasured, all the things they gave themselves to, it doesn't matter who or what it was. If you die without Christ, you'd rather have had none of them and had him than have all of them and die without him. Make sure that you're not like these Jews. Make sure you don't respond to the word of God preached to you this morning in the same way that they did. God forbid that you would say, and you perhaps have said it many a time already, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will do certainly whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. How many times in reality has that been your response to the word of God? And God has been saying all the time, one day they'll know that my word and not their word will ultimately stand. You can't reject the word of God and get away with it. You really can't. You're not better off doing what you want rather than what God says. In our first delusion, that was the temptation Adam and Eve received from the devil. You'll be as gods. You disobey God and everything will be wonderful. You'll be better off. And we saw the very opposite was the case. These Jews found out the very opposite was the case. It's as you respond to God's word in repentance and faith in Christ, and as a Christian respond to the word of God in obedience, that you have real joy and real blessing in your life. Amen.